Enjoyed the worship, enjoyed the praise. My wife Sue is with me this morning as well. And I always love being at a church that covers the clock with a television set. You folks are all right. You folks are all right. There's no clock. That's great. I now have an excuse. No matter how late I go, I have an excuse this morning. But I do want to say to you that I believe that you have been uniquely blessed as a congregation in your history here in Three Rivers and also in what God has for you in the future. It's a very significant church, multiple staff church, quite a large church in the Grand Rapids area. Contacted me maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, and they said, Pastor Rich, and all of your contacts with IMISOS and in the ministry, who's on your short list? I said, unfortunately, the world we live in, my short list is getting shorter and shorter of men I would recommend for the pastorate. Said, in fact, my short list is pretty short. How short is it? I said, has one person on it. And he said, who is it? And I said, Jeff and Christy Holman. They have a great reputation in ministry, great integrity. They've done a great work over in the eastern part of the state, even in difficult circumstances and situations. And so they contacted, or I contacted Jeff and said, Jeff, are you interested? And he said, I just don't feel that I'm gifted for that particular ministry. And I was disappointed, but I thought they had missed out on a great thing, but I also was, again, impressed by Jeff's sensitivity of heart. There would have been other men that would have looked at that church and the size and the scope of that ministry and said, hey, whether I can do it or not, yeah, I want to go there, because that's a pretty prestigious place. But Jeff said, as Christy and I talk and as we pray and as we discuss this, we just don't feel that I'm gifted for that church. Now, that tells you something about the heart of your pastor. He wants to be where God wants him to be. He wants to be used by God. And he wants to be a special tool in God's hands. And I think that's a special blessing for you to be able to thank God for today and say, we absolutely thank God for bringing to us Pastor Jeff and Christy. Now, what am I going to share with you this morning? Dave said to me in his invitation, we want you to bring a challenge to Pastor Jeff and also a challenge to the church. Wrap it all into one. So I started to think, I could discuss the philosophy of pastoring and trace its roots and history. We could turn to the Word and I could teach the theology of the church. But the reality is, you're not here to hear me. I'm just sort of a subpoint in the events of this morning. You're here to celebrate and to welcome and to love and to greet Pastor Jeff and Christy. And you're here to eat lunch. So instead of going into all of these great details that we could go into, let me just please share with you a few practical points to Pastor Jeff and Christy, as well as to you as a congregation. We're going to use the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. If you want to turn just to 1 Timothy, we're not going to cover both of these books in detail. We're simply going to overview them and pick out a few verses that I see there. But 1 and 2 Timothy, of course, written by the Apostle Paul toward the end of his life and ministry. 1 Timothy toward the end of his life. 2 Timothy, most Bible scholars believe it was the last book Paul wrote before he was martyred for the cause of Christ. They're two of the three pastoral epistles we see within the Bible. 1 and 2 Timothy, along with Titus, comprise the three what we call pastoral epistles. They're called pastoral epistles because they're written to who? Tell me. Pastors. That's exactly right. We find in here three letters written to pastors on how they ought to act, how they ought to conduct their ministry, and how they ought to oversee and lead the ministry of the church. Now, young Timothy, of course, and Titus were not pastors, but for short terms. They were evangelists. They were overseers. They accompanied Paul. They traveled with Paul. And only for short periods of time would they pastor a church. We could almost look at them as the first interim pastors. We see Paul giving them instructions that will say, give this instruction to this church or set up the elders in this church. And it seems as if they would go into the churches that Paul had pastored and they would oversee that church for a short period of time and put the affairs in order and then encourage that church to call their next pastor. Now, of course, Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Timothy had been mentored by Paul. And I want you to notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy as to why he even wrote 1 Timothy, if we can have that slide up. I'll probably say that a few times this morning because I don't have a clicker. I have no idea what you call that. My tech guys laugh when I say I need the clicker. But back home, I have this clicker that I push. Here, I'm just pointing and waving at Geneva, who's up there in the balcony, all right? But look at that verse. Although I hope, this is Paul speaking, to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions. I'm writing you all I'm writing to you in 1 Timothy, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now, at first glance, when we look at that verse, we just see a reason for why Paul wrote 1 Timothy. He said, I want to come and see you. I want to come and visit with you. It's a church he planted. Timothy was overseeing it. Paul said, I want to share with you. But if I am delayed, I'm writing down these instructions, so if I can't come and preach to you and teach you in person, you at least have these instructions written before you. And at first glance, that's all we see. But he tells us all in this verse some very important truths at second glance. He tells us whose church this is. Notice, please, those words. How you ought to conduct yourselves in God's household. The church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Speaking, of course, of the universal church and all of its local entities. But that is a great reminder for us to be reminded of on this day. This is not this day becoming Jeff Holman's church. This will never be Jeff Holman's church. This is not the elders' church. I want to say this very carefully. This isn't your church. This is God's church. It is the body and bride of the living Christ. The church is not an organization. An organization has no life within. An organization is dead. An organization receives life from those outside that organization who oversee that organization. It may be a corporate board, it may be a CEO. That's an organization. Now, a church is an organized body, but it is not an organization. The church is an organism, and there is a great difference. Organization gets its life from without itself. An organism has life within itself, and the church is a living organism. It is the body and the bride of Christ, and that is critical for us to see and for us to be reminded of. Christ is the head of the church. Why? Because God made him the head of the church. Why did God make Christ the head of the church? Because Christ redeemed the church through his broken body and shed blood on Calvary's cross. And God has made Christ head over the church. And we respond by submitting to the Lord Christ in all that we do. We respond by looking at our responsibility, which is there at the end of the verse. Three Rivers Bible Church is to be the pillar and foundation of the truth in this community. It is to be that instrument which upholds the truth, and it is to be the instrument that dispels the truth throughout this community. But it is the Lord's church. And so we conduct ourselves by what the Lord instructs us in this word. We don't guide ourselves by opinions or preferences. We come to the word of the living God and we say, thus saith the Lord, therefore, this is how we will conduct our affairs. Now, in that light, let's look at three specific practical responsibilities. First of all, for Team Homan. Notice I said Team Homan. That's Jeff and Christy. You have been a team for years. Continue to be a team. Continue to be a team. Don't worry about Elle. She's cute enough to handle herself. But you guys just be a team. Be a team. I was saying to someone just the other day, a couple of years ago, my wife and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. And someone made a comment to me. I was talking about her, and someone made a comment to me and said, but the gift of teaching, the gift of preaching is a gift from God. I said, you're right. But pastoring is not just the gift of preaching and teaching. And I could never have even approached what I have been able to do in ministry except it be two things, God's grace and my wife. The times that we've shared together, the tears we've shed together, the laughs we've had together, the times we've ministered together. In fact, when I was pastoring just down the street, well, a few miles down the street, my first pastorate, when we first went there, we didn't have any children. And so we made all the new baby hospital calls together. We had a great time. And I remember after our son was born, and I made my first post-child baby call alone because my wife was home with our son who was a baby. I remember walking down the hallway of that hospital in Battle Creek and I broke out into a cold sweat. What am I going to talk to this lady about? What am I going to do? What am I doing here? Because it had always been my wife who had interacted in those type of calls. You have a great team. I have watched over the years as they have always operated as a team. And I have no doubt to believe that they will continue to operate as a team. It is Team Homan. Specifically, Jeff, your primary responsibility is to be a gifted teacher of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul says to young Timothy, preach the Word, be diligent. Be diligent in season, out of season. And use the word to reprove people and rebuke people and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Because the time is going to come when people living on this earth are not going to want to endure sound doctrine. So they shall turn away their ears from the truth, verse 4. They shall be turned unto fables. What do I want you to do? I want you to watch in all things, and I want you to keep preaching the word, even if it means to endure afflictions. Jeff, that's your primary task, your responsibility. You know that. You've been faithful in that. Study and teach the Word of God and always be able to stand before these people and say, thus saith the Lord. You don't want to ever say, thus saith Jeff Homan. You want to say, thus saith the Lord. You have developed, and I say this very honestly, you have developed great skills as a student of the Word. Continue to develop those skills. Continue to use those skills. At times, it will mean overlooking a few things. Talks about with all long suffering. I remember a few years ago in previous church I was pastoring, it was Easter Sunday. We had two services. If you can't preach on Easter Sunday, you're dead. First service, man, did I preach. Easter Sunday morning, what a great day! And then after the first service, we'd have our Sunday school hour, and then, of course, the second service. And so during the Sunday school hour, I was sitting in my office, and I had just preached this unbelievable, incredible, dynamic Easter message. And I would go into my office during the Sunday school time, and I'd tweak a few things and change a few things so that it'd even be better at the second service. Some man came up, knocked on my door. The door was open. He poked his head in the door, and he said, Pastor, that was a great Easter morning sermon this morning. But did you ever think on some Easter morning preaching on, and then he gave me a little subject. It was the subject I had just preached on. I looked at him and I thought at first he was joking. And he was standing there just as serious as anything. And then he said, a couple of Easters ago, I heard Charles Stanley preach on that subject. And I think you would do a good job with that. I said, thanks, I'll take it under advisement, God bless, and he walked away. I stared at the ceiling and said, UPS, I should have driven for UPS or something. There will be times when they will hear you, and there will be times when they don't hear you. But you're not primarily preaching to this congregation. You're primarily handling the Word of God before God. And so be faithful to God. Now, Team Church, what is your responsibility in this? Your responsibility is to pray. Pray. In this specific area, pray. Over and over and over in all of Paul's epistles to the local churches he wrote to, he thanked those churches for praying. Take this seriously. Add Pastor Jeff to your daily prayer list. And pray for him specifically in this area. There will be other areas you'll pray for him for, but pray for him specifically in this area. Pray that he will have the time. Pray that he'll have the focus. Pray that he'll have the concentration. Pray that as he wrestles with the text, he'll come out on top. Pray for the appropriate privacy, that God will guard his time. Pray that the Holy Spirit will teach him the truth of God so that he'll be able to teach you. And pray then that you might be receptive to the application that God would have for your life that next Sunday as Pastor Jeff stands before you and teaches the Word. And then when he does, listen. Take notes. Apply it. Apply it. Pray. Pray, Team Church. Pray for Christy. Pray for Elle. Pray for this special, precious family. But pray for Pastor Jeff in his responsibilities of handling the Word of God, that God will protect him and use him mightily. Team Holman, number two, be a good soldier of the faith of God. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Somebody said some time ago, parenting is not for wimps. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. I have, though, recently found out what is for wimps. Grandparenting. It's great. It's great. They come over to the house. You get them all dirty. You give them all the sugar they want, all the candy they want, then you stand on the front porch and say, "Bye-bye, have a good night's rest, see you tomorrow." Grandparenting is for wimps. Parenting is not for wimps, never has been. Nor is pastoral leadership. It is not for wimps. There are times when you will endure struggles, and you will endure hardness, and you will endure trials. We live in a culture that is incredibly changing. We all know it. We just read the news. There was a time years ago when a pastor was the most revered person in the community. When the Word of God was honored, even among unbelievers. When the person of Christ was respected, even among unbelievers. When the church was seen truly as a respite, as a place to find help, as a lighthouse. We live in a day today of political correctness and even all of what Paul shares later in these epistles about living in the last days. We live in exactly the days Paul describes. And it's not always that way, and we are not revered. We are not respected. Sometimes we are reviled because we stand strong and stand true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jeff and Christy, you will have trials. You will have trials professionally. You will have trials personally. You already have. You have a pastor and his wife that have been tried by fire and have come forth faithful. You know their lives. You know their background. Suffering the tragic loss of siblings, both of them. Suffering the loss of parents. Struggling the loss of endeavoring to have a child. My wife and I identify with that one. That was us for 10 years. Struggling through all of the court proceedings and everything that was involved with adopting Elle. You know, it's great. She's a cutie. You all love on her. You all love on her. Just love on her, all right? But that doesn't erase all the pain of the past and all of the struggles and all of the prayers. Are we going to get her or we're not going to get her? This has to go right. And this has to go right. The judge has to do this. They've gone through those trials. They've come forth faithful by God's grace. Therefore, when you go through trials, you will have a pastor and a pastor's wife who will be able to empathize with you and cry with you and pray with you. And I doubt if there's too many times when you'll be able to look at this pastor or this pastor's wife and say, you just don't understand. No, we'll understand. They'll understand the tough times you're going through. They'll understand how you need each other to pray together and call out to the grace of God. There will be professional trials. There will be personal trials. But I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 11, where you have all of these great characters of faith. They were not perfect. They all failed. They all failed. They all had times and they failed miserably, like we all do. I don't know how many times I'm thankful I'm not in the Bible. Because in the Bible you have everybody's good points and then you have everybody's failures and they're recorded for all eternity. There are some people in Hebrews chapter 11 that have some unbelievable failures in their past, and yet they're recorded as great people of, listen, not just faith, but great people of faithfulness, because their faith was in the Lord. One that comes to mind immediately that I registered with me just a couple of weeks ago was Moses. Moses. Remember how he struggled with the nation of Israel? He had it up to here with them. They griped and they fought and they griped and they disbelieved and they didn't walk in faith and they rejected this and they didn't want to follow him here. And he got so angry, what did he do? Anybody tell me? Struck the rock. So what happened when he struck the rock? God said, Mose, I just want you to know that wasn't of me. And therefore, you're not going to enter the promised land. My people will ultimately enter the promised land, but you're not going to go be in the promised land with them. What would you have done? Honestly, just think that through. What would you have done? You're already leading a bunch of people that are driving you nuts, that have already given you ulcers upon ulcers. They're griping and they're negative and they're rebellious. You're just sort of looking for a way to escape. It's like, I've got my resume out there, nobody's calling. And then you strike the rock and God says you're not going to the promised land. I think the vast majority of us would have said, fine. If we're not going to the promised land, then I quit. I don't want to be leading these people anyway. They're a pain in the neck. So if I'm not going to the promised land, fine, great God, I'll go live my own life. I mean, that would be the natural, normal, and not even necessarily ungodly reaction unless God was in it for a specific purpose. And yet Moses didn't react that way. Moses stayed faithful. Moses stayed faithful. And that's why we see him there in Hebrews 11 as a great testimony, as are all of the others, of faithfulness, of perseverance, of moving forward. Team church. Team church, your pastor and wife will endure hardness. They will have trials personally. They will have trials professionally. When one of you is going through a tough time, they will be carrying that burden as well. Trust me. Trust me. when one of you is diagnosed with something that you wish you hadn't been diagnosed with, they'll carry that burden with you. They will. When something goes wrong in the church or something goes wrong in your family or you have a child that's walking away from the Lord and you're struggling with that rebellious child, they'll carry that burden with you. They will. And all time relying on God's grace. So what do I want to encourage you to do, knowing that that is what they will do as a faithful pastor and wife? I want you to find ways to encourage them. I want you to find ways to encourage them. It's not easy. It's not easy in this day and age being a pastor. I can tell you many times when I was sitting down in the front row getting ready to preach, and if there was one thing I didn't want to do was preach. I just didn't. Been a tough week, and this had happened, and this had happened, and this had happened. And it was a song we sang, or a song the choir sang, or a song the praise team sang, and it just lifted my spirits. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Or it may have been, unbeknownst to me, not the song. It may have been someone in that congregation who the Spirit of God touched their heart, and that person was sitting behind me knowing that I'd had a tough week and was praying for me. But encourage your pastor. When Pastor Jeff is a blessing to you, tell him so. When he's not, just keep your mouth closed. I mean, you don't want to lie, so just sort of bypass him, you know, during greeting time. When he's a blessing, tell him so. And I want to encourage you, be creative. Be creative when you encourage him. Now, when we were pastoring down the street, there were all sorts of people in our congregation who encouraged us. I'm from Chicago, my wife's from St. Louis. People encouraged us with eggs. I remember the first time we came out on our back porch and saw eggs sitting on the back porch. So what are they doing here? Sue said they're to eat. They're from the farmer right down the street. Are they safe to eat? I mean, I'm from Chicago. I remember our first Christmas. I came home from the church and Sue met me at the door and she said, I am so excited. So-and-so called today and for Christmas they're going to give us a half a pig. I'm from Chicago. You know what picture I got in my mind? This is the truth. I pictured a half a pig running around our backyard. And I said to my wife, why would they do that? And she said, butchered, froze, ready to eat. Oh, okay. So all sorts of ways that you can encourage Pastor Jeff and Kristen. All sorts of ways. We had a wedding a few years ago, and weddings and funerals always have their own unique set of stresses. And, you know, you have the premarital counseling sessions, and then you have the rehearsal, and then you have the wedding ceremony. And weddings have always stressed me out more than funerals. Because in funerals, if you mess up, the guest of honor doesn't really care. They're with Jesus. But if you mess up in a wedding, the guest of honor cares. And it's preserved forever on someone's video or cell phone or something. So there's always that little edge of stress. But a few years ago, we had left the wedding and breathed a sigh of relief that another one had gone well. I think about 150 now. And I pulled out the envelope that the groom had given to me and I handed it to Sue. And she opened it up and there was the card in there. And then you always have the honorarium check in there that's thank you. And this time there wasn't a check in there. And Sue just began to read and she said, wow, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And she read me this note from the bride and the groom. Thank you, Pastor, for all of the hours you've spent in preparing us for this day. And thank you, Sue, for the time that you've given him to us as we've prepared for this day. So, enclosed you will find a gift card to a unique little private eatery in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. Have an evening on us. I still remember that because it was so unique, was so distinct. encourage Pastor Jeff and encourage Christy. We live in a world where we're called on all the time to encourage the military. And I encourage you to encourage your pastor. Team Homan, number three. Be a godly example to the saints of God. Be a godly example to the saints of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. He isn't as young as he used to be, but he's still younger than me. And he hasn't hit the big one yet. I've hit the big one plus a few more. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, Paul says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that your profiting, your growth, your maturing may appear to all. Or chapter 6 and verse 11. But thou, O man of God, by the way, this is the only place in the Word of God where we see that phrase used, the New Testament. But thou, O man of God, he says to Timothy, flee these things. What things? Everything he said in the previous 10 verses. Everything he said. Perverse disputings, verse 5, supposing the gain is godliness, that's the prosperity gospel. All of the stuff he says in the first 10 verses, Paul says, Timothy, I want you to flee those things, and I want you to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You have been, Jeff and Christy, and you will continue to be, as husband and wife and family, not perfect, but humble, honest, transparent, as an example to the saints of God. Team Church, follow. Follow. Well, do we follow Him anywhere and everywhere? No. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, a great, great verse. See, this is not blind loyalty we're speaking of here to a pastor. No way. The only one we are blindly loyal to is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. But notice what Paul says to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Paul says, be followers of me even, notice the words, notice, as I also follow Christ. That's a key. Or look with me at that other reference that you see before you in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. He speaks of the leadership of the church, the elders and the deacons, and he says in verse 7 of Hebrews 13, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now notice, whose what? Faith follow. Whose faith follow. As Jeff examples to you, as Christy examples to you the Word of God, as your board examples to you, men of God who are waiting upon God for His direction, for His guidance, I encourage you, follow them and their display of faith. They are not perfect. They will struggle. They will fail. But follow them in faithfulness. And when you think that Jeff needs a word of exhortation, and in every church I have pastored, there have been those faithful men who God used in my life. When you think that Jeff needs a word of exhortation, share it with him prayerfully, personally, privately. And let it go. Don't share it in a congregational meeting. Don't publish it on the church website. Don't send out an all-church email. Say, Jeff, can you meet me at Big B? Or can you meet me at Starbucks? Can you meet me someplace for a cup of coffee? And only do that after you have spent time in prayer, in the Word of God. And then share it personally, one-to-one. Share it prayerfully. Share it privately in humility and let it go. But follow them as they example to you what it means to walk as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I have no doubt they will example that to you. You are not receiving officially this morning some pastor fresh out of school. You're receiving a pastor and wife who have been tried and tested and have come forth faithful. You are receiving a pastor and his wife who are known for their integrity, their godliness, not perfection, their humility and their honesty. I was on the phone just a few weeks ago with a ministry board member on the eastern side of the state. Jeff's name came up. We're talking about a completely different ministry. He said, "Boy, we love Jeff and Christy. They're a couple that has years of experience to look back on. And that's why I can say some of the things I've shared with you this morning. Because they have been this in the past, and I'm just encouraging them and exhorting them to continue to be this in the future." And to you as a church, to you as a church, that you will stand behind them, and that you will stand with them, and that you will pray for them, that you will encourage them, and that you will follow them. Now let's all of us, as we conclude, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. What time is it, Jeff? What time is it? 35? Thank you. You owe me dinner. I said to Jeff, "How am I going to know what time it is?" "Well, I know it. I don't." I said, if I get on by 11, I'll be done 11:35. He said, "Oh yeah, sure." And I haven't even known what time it is. But let's just stand together, shall we? Let's just stand together. And I want to conclude this great service by reading, I think, some great, great verses together with you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. "There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And unto every one of us here at Three Rivers Bible Church has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto all. Now that he ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the edifying, the maturing, the building up of the saints for the saints' work of the ministry here at Three Rivers Bible Church and for the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slay of men and cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head of this church, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every person supplies, according to the working of the measure of the grace and their gift, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Our Heavenly Father, rest your hand of blessing upon this church, upon Pastor Jeff, upon Christy, upon Elle, upon these board members, upon these volunteers, upon these committee members, upon this congregation. Bind their hearts together by your grace and the love and the true affection of true unity. And may this church be a force for righteousness and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, faithful to the Word of God until Jesus comes. This is what we pray. And all of the redeemed declared, Amen.